Praise the Lord, everyone, and glory to God. It's just so wonderful to be here. We're going to, once again, this is rather predictable, I know, but we're going to sing that chorus, Keep on Walking by Faith. And as we sing it, we'll be opening our Bibles to the book of Luke in chapter 10 to begin with. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Hallelujah! Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's wonderful to give the Lord a hand praise. Amen. Well, you may be seated if you'd like to. You can stand or walk around or praise God. You know, we don't want to just sit here. We want to get active in the Lord, don't we? Now, you know, a pastor was telling me one time, a friend of mine, he said, you know, he was in a service. He said they started to sing a certain chorus, and there was a visitor there, sitting there and listening, and they kept singing the chorus, and finally, the power of God really came down, the Spirit of the Lord began to sweep over the congregation, and all kinds of wonderful things began to happen. And he talked to the visitor later, and he said, what'd you think of that? The visitor said, you know, you sang that chorus 87 times. And he said, 87 times, and he said, the power came down, didn't it? He said, well, yeah. He said, well, there's nothing wrong with singing it 86 times if that's what it takes, but why were you sitting there counting them? Yeah. Amen. Anyway, praise the Lord. So we look for great things from God, and we're going to open now to Luke chapter 10, and we're beginning with verse 17. The title of the message this morning is, What is in a Name? What is in a name? Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning, asking thee and beseeching thee, O Lord, to have mercy upon us. Let thy grace be upon us also, O Lord, and help us now as we go into thy holy word. We know it is forever settled in heaven. And O Lord, we are thy children, we are thy sheep, the sheep of thy pasture, and we stand in great need of thee, O Lord. And I pray now that thou wouldst accept my humble service. And, O God, that we would all be able to reach out to Thee, all desiring the same thing, just to be right with Thee and to be at peace with Thee, to be ready for Thy soon coming. But help us, O Lord, to realize the impact of the power of Thy holy name. And also, O Lord, that Thou wouldst help us in faith to walk with Thee, O God, and to do Thy will and to hear Thy voice. I pray that thou wouldst rebuke the devil, let every unclean spirit be gone out of this place, that there would be no interruption or interference in any way, but give us victory in the Holy Ghost, and we glorify thee, Lord. We know that thy angels are here, that thy holy presence is here, and we are so blessed to be here also. Be thou with us now as we go into thy word, give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray, through the power of thy saving blood, amen. Glory to God. In Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 17, we're going to read here about 70 people that came back. The Lord Jesus sent 70 men out on a mission. Sent them out by twos. And they went out and they found that through his name, they were able to cast out devils. Boy, there's a lot of devils to cast out these days, aren't there? Everywhere. Everywhere from the Oval Office on down. Boy, there's a lot of them hanging out there. But anyway, they found that through the name of Jesus. They were able to cast out devils. Miracles happened. All kinds of wonderful things took place. And when they got back, came back to Jesus, they were excited. They were enthusiastic. Remember that word enthusiasm? Theonoustos, God breathed. When God breathes upon you, you get enthusiastic. I believe the Lord wants us to be lively. Scripture says we are lively stones. Amen. I realize as you get a little older, your physical self isn't as lively as it maybe used to be. However, God still has put life in us, and we're still lively stones. Amen. And I've seen some pretty elderly people really come to life sometimes. The Spirit of God moves upon you. Amazing things happen. Well, you might even get healed. God still heals. I still believe that, and I always will. He does it in many different ways. And sometimes over a period of time, and sometimes he pushes the fast forward button, and it's real quick. But he does heal. Now, these disciples came back. The 70 that he sent out, these emissaries of the kingdom of God. And in verse 17 it says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." They saw it happen. They were convinced of it. The evidence was there. These evil spirits in the name of Jesus would flee away. Praise God. And this astounded them. They were so filled with joy. Boy, that sure beats the old dead churchianity, doesn't it? To really have something going on. You know, some people, they go to church and they get back home and others say, well, what happened in church today? The usual. We don't want the usual. Amen. We want people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We want people to be healed, spiritual gifts in operation. We are looking for God to do amazing things. And when you believe it with all of your heart, you will see these things happen. Just as they did here. And they were absolutely filled with joy. And here is the response of our Savior in verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And of course, he's referring back to Isaiah 14, 14, and when Satan was cast down, and we'll look at that in a little while. We have some other things to do first. But this is an awesome thing here. Jesus pronounced the fall of Satan. He said, I beheld it. When Satan was thrust out of heaven, cast out, it was like a ball of fire. There was lightning such as you had never seen before or ever would see after until the Lord comes. Now, verse 19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents. Remember that old flag in the early days of our country with that snake on it and it said, don't tread on me? Now, who would say, don't tread on me? Where did that one come from? He says, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, these are the words of our Savior. He cannot lie. We have confidence in Him, in His ability to help us. Do we ever fight battles with evil spirits? All the time. And all kinds of things come at us, and we are tested. Our faith is tested. But in all of it, we grow and we get stronger. God knows what He's doing. But Jesus had this to say about this entire subject. He said in verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I don't know if you've thought much about that, but it's an awesome thought to think that your name is written in heaven. Now think about that for a moment. Our names are written a lot of places here on earth. The IRS has got it. I thought this was kind of interesting. An elderly lady recently wrote to the IRS and said, please take my name off your mailing list. I'm sure they got a chuckle out of that one, didn't they? They don't do that, do they? But they've got our names a lot of places and all kinds of things and circumstances, and the credit bureau's got it, and it's out there, and they attach a number to it, don't they? Called a Social Security or SS number, 9 digits. Just like you have a 9-digit zip code and a 9-digit bank routing number, so you got 3 9s, which inverted are 3 6s. Kind of interesting little concept they got going. But anyway, he said, now when he says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, he's not telling them not to not rejoice. The way this is written, it's called a Hebraism. In other words, he's saying that it's all right to rejoice, but you should be rejoicing over something greater. In other words, in this rejoice not, he's not saying don't rejoice, but he's saying that the Spirit's a subject unto you, but rather rejoice. Why? The greater, awesome, wonderful thing is that our names are recorded up there. When you were born again, if you were born again, there's a lot of people that say they were born again, but they weren't really born again. Jimmy Carter, the former president, said he was born again. You know where he was born again? Under the acacia tree in the lodge. When they pulled him back up and he said those magic words and did the 5 points, you know, John could tell you all about that. But he was born again there under that. They say that's you rise to walk in newness of life. What a blasphemy. Yet that doesn't happen in the lodge. We're born again of the water and of the Spirit. Our names are written in heaven. And as David said in the Psalms, this man was born there. We're ambassadors here. This isn't our home. You know, the old undertaker will come along, have a hole dug for you, 6 feet deep, put you in a box and say, here's your final resting place. That is not my final resting place. And there's no place in this world, people ask you the question, they're taking information on, where do you reside? You really want to know? Up there. I'm just visiting here. I don't reside here. I'm passing through. I'm on my way through this place. This world is not my home. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. But he said our names are written in heaven. Then he went on and said in verse 21, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Where are we going to learn about these things? At the university? Going to go to Columbia University and learn all about God? I used to work at the University of Wisconsin up at Oshkosh, and they had professors of religious studies. And I purposely did this one time. I had lunch with one of these professors over at the Algoma Room at Reeve Union. And I was sitting there talking to him, and I was introduced to him. And I said, oh, this is interesting, a religious professor. He said, I am not a religious professor. He said, I'm a professor of religious studies. And he started telling me all about Christianity. He told me all about Christianity. And I said, well, what do you believe personally? He said, well, personally, I'm a Buddhist. So you're going to go to a university, all the wise and prudent, the guys with the square hats, you know? The mortar boards, right? Came from Masonry, didn't it? The guys that wore the robes with the hoods. They're going to tell you all about Christianity? I don't think so. No, they're indoctrinated and they're there. They have an agenda. If anything, they are great robbers of any faith that does exist. But the Word of God tells us here, Jesus said that these things are hidden from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. You mean I had to become a baby again? I was born again? Otherwise, I could never have these things revealed. They're revealed unto babes. I better be born again. I can't just go waltzing into the kingdom of God and say, okay, Lord, pour it on me. No, we are born again. We become infantile in the hands of God. He gives us our growth and our sustenance. He nurtures us and brings us up. That's why Jesus said that if you don't receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you're in no wise going to enter therein. Meaning you receive the kingdom of God like a little child would. It doesn't mean if you discover the kingdom of God too late, you know, like if you're in his 40s or 50s, oh, I can't get in now. No, that's not what he's talking about. We're talking here about becoming like a little child and believing what we are told in the Word. Amen. Then he said, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. All revelation comes through Jesus Christ. There is no revelation outside of Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God. How are you going to know God in his greatness except through the manifestation of the flesh of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ? And he tells us that right here, makes it very clear. So we know, of course, that his name is Jesus. The Bible says that whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Of course, some people would say, except baptism, there you got to have titles. You don't use the, hey, all things. Something as urgent and important as water baptism, a part of the gospel itself, the burial part of the gospel that we must obey, it better be in the name of Jesus, because that's where the power and the authority is. What is in a name? And if your name is written in heaven, what is in your name? You know, God changes names sometimes. You look at names today. When I was working at the university, I used to walk through the residence halls sometimes, and you get into the women's area, especially, you see some of these names, you know they came out of a soap opera. There's a real epidemic of some of these names, you know, Bree and Brianna and Samantha and Sabrina and all these witch names, you know, Morgan and Morgana, and yeah, it all comes right out of witchcraft. But they saw it on some soap opera, and all of a sudden, all these mothers out there, I'm telling you, go right down door to door, there's a whole string of Heathers right down the, you know, and I'll tell you what, these soap operas are terrible. Are they still on? I guess they must be. You know, years ago, my mother used to watch those when I was a little kid, you know, Edge of Night and Secret Storm and As the Stomach Turns, As the World Turns, and Young and the Restless and Days of Our Lives. And out in California, they had one called Gaze of Our Lives in a localized area. Did you know that? Who in thunder would turn that thing on, Gaze of Our Lives, you know? And all they are is just one adultery and fornication after another, fornication after fornication after fornication, and always with a guy named Derek. It's just all this rot. But, you know, they watch this and, oh, I like that name. And it's some prostitute on there, and they name their children after her. You know, just like the sound of the name. But what's in a name? A name designates something. God has often changed names. Let's go back in the Old Testament for a minute and go way back to Genesis. And let's see what we can find here. In Genesis 17, there was a man named Abram, which means exalted father. And God spoke to him in chapter 17 of Genesis and said, it says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram, 99 years old, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. And through Jesus Christ, Think about this now. All the Gentile people, all the nations that come unto Jesus Christ are blessed in the same blessing of that faithful Abraham had through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, he goes on and says, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, exalted father, but thy name shall be Abraham. God changed it there, which of course means a father of multitudes or a multitude of nations. Amen. Unto him shall the Gentiles seek, that the Lord Jesus Christ would call many nations from the east and from the west and from all directions. Thank God. God is no respecter of persons, but all that work righteousness are accepted with him. And through Jesus Christ, we have salvation, no matter what your race is. Now, he says, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Interesting thing to say to a man that is that old and doesn't have a child yet, at least the child of promise, all right? And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And then he goes on and explains that he is to keep the covenant of circumcision, but the important point here is God changed his name. Now, the Lord knew he would do this in advance. Did you ever stop to think about that great book of life up in heaven with the names recorded in it? God knew in advance he was going to change his name. I don't believe there's a whole bunch of names scratched and changed and rewritten and retouched and so forth. God knows all things in advance. We know that the people of God are written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, from the foundation of the world. Even before your parents named you. Remember? Oh, you don't remember because you were too little to remember. But you were born and your mother looked at you and your father looked at you and maybe they had a name picked out in advance, otherwise one just came to them. In my case, my mother didn't know what to name me, and she said she just, right after I was born, she just kind of laid back and went into she had kind of a dream that came to her, and she heard a voice saying to call me David, so that's how I ended up with that name. But anyway, and she knew it was the Lord. She wasn't even a Christian yet, really, but God does things that way. But anyway, God changes names. Now, when you were born, your mother or father or both gave you a name. And you're called by that name here on earth. But what is your name in heaven? Is it the same one your parents picked? We're going to look into that a little more closely. But God changed Abram's name to Abraham. It had meaning to it. There was a purpose and a reason for it. Now, when you go down a little further to verse 15 of Genesis 17, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarahi, which is the way it's pronounced, we're using the old Aramaic Hebrew here, Sarahi, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarahi, which means, by the way, one who dominates. That's what it means. One who takes charge. One who says, I'm the boss. Sarahi. Not going to be called that anymore. Thou shalt not call her name Sarahi, but Sarah, which means princess. Amen. Shall her name be. Isn't it great when God changes a name and says, this is how it's going to be? Because God does everything with purpose. It means something. There's a reason behind it. And she was made a princess there in the presence of God. And we also find as we look at this, these names. If we go over to Genesis chapter 32 and go down to verse 24, we know that Jacob, which means a supplanter or one who seizes upon something and takes it, as he was sojourning, he met a man who turned out to be the angel of the Lord and wrestled with him all night long. God has a purpose in everything he does. You might wonder, why did Jacob wrestle with this manifestation of the angel of the Lord? Why did this happen? Oh, I believe there are a number of reasons for it. One is to test his perseverance and his determination. But notice what happened here. In verse 24 of Genesis 32, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." All right? "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him." In other words, Jacob had so much determination that he was actually winning in this wrestling. "When he saw he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him." He still didn't give up. Does that tell us something about when we wrestle spiritually? Never quit. If you've been injured, never quit. Keep fighting. God will be with you. But this was a special test. And you know, sometimes we get into prayer and we are so challenged by something that it's literally a wrestling of our soul. We wrestle with ourselves. We wrestle with our thoughts. We wrestle with the world. But hold on, because there's a blessing in it. Maybe not. Have you ever wrestled? We wrestle, don't we? Remember Ephesians 6:12? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, and there is that, isn't there? Rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness. Where is it? In high places. And I'll come back to that thought too. We get toward the end of this later on. But it is amazing how some people will acquiesce before the powers of darkness. You know these churches out there? This Southern Baptist Convention voting to endorse Obama because he's an African American. They congratulate him as president. They make a big ado about him at their recent convention. And the man, Obama, is a baby killer. He's for every kind of evil there is. He's pro-gay. I mean, everything that's evil, everything from hell, he embraces. They are a dirty bunch. You can even put a capital D on that one. And now they had this, you heard about this cash for clunkers thing. And they run out of money in 2 days. What are we going to do? Let's give them more. Put more money into it. You know, what's money anyway? We just punch a few things in a computer and there it is. Like magic. Sure, just make an entry. You know what would happen if you would do that? Start making entries, start hacking your way into the bank and add some money to your account. You know what they'd do to you? You'd be in the Crowbar Hotel in no time. But the government can do it, right? Oh yeah, they do that all the time. But you know, they ran out of this money and are walking around wondering, what do we do now? Hey, if they fouled up with that, how would they do with a health care plan? Do you ever get the sinking feeling that they don't know what they're doing? That they're all a bunch of amateurs? That they're all airheaded? That they're playing games? It's like a big Monopoly game. They got the board spread out and phony money, and they're playing around with it. Really, that it's tantamount to what's going on right now. Just keep making more and more and more. That's right. So the goods and services that now exist can absorb the extra money, and you have inflation to the moon. Literally. Remember the national debt stacked up in $100 bills stacked tightly together? How many times does it reach to the moon? 26 times? To hit that, well, now it's almost $12 trillion. It's more than that. That's just what they tell you. Their figures, that liars are always coming up with new figures, aren't they? But anyway, this angel of the Lord then said in verse 26, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." You talk about determination. His thighs out of joint. He's holding on to the Lord. And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob." Here's God changing a name again. "But Israel." Of course, Israel, he'll give you the definition for it in a moment, but it means a prince that has power with God. And so it says, "But Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed," the prevailing prince. "And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." What happened here? Another name change. We saw it with Abram becoming Abraham, with Sarai becoming Sarah, now with Jacob becoming Israel. Every time with a great and a grand purpose in mind. But you know, one of the most exciting name changes that I find in the Word of God is found over in the book of Acts. Go with me for a moment to Acts chapter 12. Pardon me, chapter 13. It's chapter 13 we're looking at. And go down to verse 4 with me and watch what happens, because we have a man named Saul of Tarsus, who was of the tribe of Benjamin, who was a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, a very noble man in Israel, Benjamin being a favored tribe that was later incorporated into Judah because it was so small. And God called him on the road to Damascus and said he was a chosen vessel. His name was Saul. The name Saul actually means one who asks, as in a form of demand, one who insists on an answer. And his name was changed. In the 13th chapter of Acts, verse 4, it says, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost..." There's the way to be sent forth. Come on. "By the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister." Boy, that took some boldness, didn't it, to go in the synagogue and preach Jesus Christ? Try it sometime. Go over to Fond du Lac or Oshkosh and Temple Beth Israel, one of these places, and preach Jesus Christ. You know what? You will get the bums rush out. I do pray for those people that someday their hearts will be open and they'll understand that God was manifested in the flesh, that the Messiah did come, and a lot of people found that out, but a lot of people didn't. But I'll tell you what, that we need to have a love in our heart for all people and preach to them and preach Jesus Christ to them. The problems in this world today are the devil's fault, and he's gotten into cultures and people, and you can't pin it on any one people. Some people say, "Oh, it's all the Jews' fault. It's all the blacks' fault. All this." They want to pin it on somebody. But God is no respecter of persons. All right? I don't, you know, as far as that goes, you can look at any type of people. The Germans had their problems, didn't they? And the Dutch. And the French. None of us have anything to be proud of. We're all evil, born in sin. Come on. And so it tells us in verse 6, and when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. By the way, there's sorcerers all over the place, you know. We just finished a witch's Sabbath here, August the 1st. Of course, the night of the Friday night, for every Friday in witchcraft is called an Esbit, where they have their meetings on Friday nights. And then when they happen to have a Sabbath that same night, they pretty much go berserk. And this one was one of the cross-quarter Sabbaths called Lammas or Lunasa in the Scotch Gaelic. It's the harvest festival where they worship the god of nature, Demeter. You know, the god of grain and harvest that the Romans called Ceres, from which you get the word cereal. You look at your breakfast cereal, you know, the grains in there. They call it cereal from the goddess Ceres, who was supposed to rule over all the grains and so forth. They kind of stuck their thing in everything, didn't they? Notice how their vocabulary was interwoven in everything that we do. They want us to speak their language. It's all done by design and on purpose. But here was this man, a sorcerer. Oh, by the way, the sheriff's department reported that over 100 goats from various farms all around Dodge County were missing, stolen. And he came right out and said they're generally used for ritual purposes. Taken on the day before Lunasa, the beginning of the harvest, not only of the grains, but of souls for the occult. And they've got reapers out there and that whole Harry Potter nonsense and that new released movie, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Of course, we got a Half-Blood Prince for a president, don't we? Again, not racial. I'm not speaking racially. I'm just saying this is a fact academically, right? Is all of this just happening by chance? Or is there a design in all of this that's going on? So many things behind the scenes. It would take days. I could stand up here and tell you about things that are happening that are unseen. But here is this sorcerer. And it says, which was with the deputy of the country. Verse 7. Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul. Here's the governing man in that area actually calling for Saul and Barnabas. It says, and desired to hear the word of God. What an opportunity! Praise the Lord! And you can be sure they were ready to tell him. The devil always wants to get in the way. Have you ever noticed whenever you try to do something for God, you're fought? One of your friends goes wacky and starts saying crazy things. It could be anything. Or you get some bad piece of mail to try to discourage you. There's always something. I've lived that way now for 35 years. Every day. How do you like them apples, huh? You kind of never get used to it. You almost come to expect it. But you know that God always takes you through. Listen, the devil hates you and he's got people and he'll raise them up to get in your way and to try to throw you off. One thing I have learned is never quit. Keep going forward. Let nothing stop you. If you know what God called you to do, you do it. And the Lord's looking for that kind of determination and he will bless that determination. Amen. And he will vindicate your cause and the word will go out and people will be saved. I'm getting letters all the time now of people who have come to the Lord. Their lives have turned around. They say, we read your newsletter. One man caused me to go to my knees. I cried out to God. That's what we're looking for. Amen. Amen. messages being listened to all over the world. Just think. And I don't personally like my voice. A lot of other people seem to, but it's the content of the message really that's what matters. But it's hard for me to listen to me. But my voice is all over all the continents of the world, all over the islands of the sea and the coastlands, and I get letters from Finland and Norway and Sweden and Denmark and France and Germany and the British Isles and Australia, Tasmania, New Zealand, the Seychelles Islands and India, Africa, all over, literally everywhere. And they're getting the tapes and the recordings and they're being played all over the world. The sun never sets on the gospel that's going out from this little group here. So make sure you pray. Every morning I spend a lot of time just praying for every name God puts in my mind. I pray for these people all over the world, for all of you. I can't go through a day without doing it. I have to do it. And I feel compelled to do it, and I want to do it. It's something we all should be doing. Now, we've got time for everything else, right? Too busy, too busy. Everything coming at me all at once. There comes a time you push it all aside and say, all right. You know? Otherwise, it's like Kleenex out of a box. Pull out one, up pops another. It's one thing after another after another. You've got to stop, get in the Word, and pray. It changes things, because God changes things. But here's this man. Sergius Paulus wants to hear the gospel, and Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them. And what was this man's name? Bar-Jesus, meaning the son of Jesus. Terrible. Change that in a hurry. Elymas, by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, and this is where his name really has changed here, because from here on it's always Paul. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. You wouldn't want to have been Elymas when Paul set his eyes on you. Those piercing, Holy Ghost-filled eyes. And he said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. Did you ever meet anybody like that? I have. It's quite an awesome thing. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. Praise God. Being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. It wasn't just that he was astonished that Elymas was given this blindness. What astonished him is the doctrine of the Lord. I'll tell you what gets to me is when I think about the greatness of God and the true doctrine, the gospel. You know, so many preachers and other people get mixed up politically and they end up trying to endorse somebody out there. My politics is short and simple. They're all a bunch of dirty, rotten crooks. I don't endorse anybody. Every one of them is crooked as a barrel of fish hooks. I don't care if it's Rock-a-Dem or Rock-a-Pub. They're all the same. I don't find Jesus ever endorsing Caesar. He didn't endorse him, did he? Did Paul? No. Our kingdom, the one we're in, which is the kingdom of our Lord Jesus, is not of this world. What would happen if you got a really good guy in for president? Somebody really was honest. There's always a fast bullet. Shots ring out in Dallas, don't they? You know, I'm not trying to discourage anybody. I'm just saying, let's look up and let God take the controls. He knows how to remove people, how to raise them up, bring them down. We need to be calling upon the Lord with every ounce of energy that we've got, because we will see results. Amen. It looks pretty bleak right now because it is their hour and the power of darkness, but that will come to an abrupt end very soon. And so we know that Saul's name, Saul, one who demands, one who asks with authority to demand, his name was changed to Paul, Paulos in Greek, little. Paul means little. Little Paul, who had been a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, a great man in Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He listed his whole resume at one time to show what the Lord brought him from and how it was so much greater to be in the kingdom of God. But you know what's so beautiful about this? This was prophesied by David in the Psalms. The conversion of Paul by name was prophesied. Let's go back there for just a quick moment. Go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. And we are on verse 26. Bless ye God in the congregations. Oh, I love the Psalms. Even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Notice this. What does the name Paul mean? Little. What tribe was he from? Benjamin. Did David, under the anointing of God, see in the future that one from the tribe of Benjamin, whose name was Saul, would be changed to a name meaning little, and prophesy there was little Benjamin, and he was always among those leaders and getting in trouble? This is awesome. The precision of the Word of God. Here was Paul, little Paul of the tribe of Benjamin, facing the leaders, the Sanhedrin and so forth. It tells it right here. And he saw him in prophecy. There was little Benjamin. Little Benjamin. Saul, who became Paul. I am so amazed at how the Lord operates. Now, let's turn for a moment to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And this we're going to bring right close to home. And then we're going to go back and have a look at where we first began about Satan's fall from heaven. And then we're going to do a comparison to Isaiah 14. And then I'm going to read an entire verse of Scripture to you in Aramaic, which is the oldest form of Hebrew. Okay? We'll see if you can recognize any of the words. Now, in Revelation 2, we're going to go down to verse 17. And we, of course, know that the seven churches in Asia are types of all the churches. They are microcosms, examples of conditions that could exist in any of the churches. I think pretty much today it's just about all Thyatira, or pardon me, there's Thyatira, but almost all Laodicea today. Carnal. They think they're rich, increased with goods. Oh, I got another letter from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association touting their Rock the River tour, starting down in New Orleans and going up the Mississippi River, and rock bands and these rock groups. What was one of that? What kind of a chick? What was that? Super Chick is going to be playing. Isn't that a Christian sounding? Huh? Their emblem is an old VW bus, the kind of the Grateful Dead followers, the Deadheads, you know? These old VW bus or van. And on the front, there's a guitar dripping with blood. They're supposed to be representatives of our Lord. A bloody guitar in the front of a VW Deadhead van. And they're touting this thing all over. Rock the River, they call it. They got all these rock groups. What is happening? It shows you how far gone everything is. I mean, these people are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And I'll tell you, when judgment comes, you know who's going to get the worst of it? All these false Christians. Because they should know better. Now, notice what it says here. We are on verse 17. And this is one of the blessings given to the children of God. If they prevail, God knows who will. And his elect will prevail. In the 17th verse of Revelation 2, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's what I want to hear, what the Spirit saith. No conjecture. What does God say? To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Oh, that sounds good to me. You know where it is? That's not the manna that was all over the ground. That's the manna that was put inside of the Ark of the Covenant. Remember? There was some put in a pot. It was put in the Ark. The hidden manna. Hidden from the view of the people. Sanctified by God. Bread from heaven. And will give him a white stone. And in the stone a new name written. God has a name for you. Your parents had a name for you. When you were born again, God picked a name for you. Because he's your father. Amen. I don't know if anybody's reluctant to give up their name in favor of their new one. I hope so. We don't know what it is. See, we were thinking, what about these people who change their names 3 or 4 times? Is the Lord up there with a whiteout? And No. He knows all things in advance. But notice what it says. He'll give you a white stone and a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. It's that personal. The Lord knows. But you know, the reason for the white stone is because in the Roman Empire, if you were brought in before a judge, a magistrate, or Caesar for that matter, and you're on trial, and you were found guilty, you were given a black stone to carry to your condemnation as the sentence is carried out. If you were given a white stone, this white stone was the court's way in the Roman Empire of saying, you were acquitted, you are innocent, you are not guilty. And you could carry that as evidence that you are not guilty. You were given a white stone. You know, the Masons kind of have a little mockery for that, the way they vote. And of course, John knows all about this, too. They have these little marbles, these black and white marbles, these little balls. And they have a box, a voting box. And if they're going to vote on a new member or whatever, they have to, if they want this person, they put the white ball in. And it only takes one person to put a black ball in. And that person is blackballed. Right? Do you ever hear that expression? I've been blackballed. Well, then you've been voted on by the Masons. And if somebody put a black ball in the box. Or these little marbles. One thing, after every Masonic voting, they don't have all their marbles. These Masons are all sitting there without all their marbles. Because one is in the box, right? Okay? But that's how it works. So they use the black and the white marbles to determine, you know, yes or no, yay or nay. It only takes one to blackball. But here, isn't this beautiful how we are given a white stone of acquittal? Our sins permanently thrown into God's sea of forgetfulness. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Your past resume is wiped out. Isn't that awesome? The gospel means good news. To be able to stand there and to have God give you a white stone with your new name in it. And we're talking reality now, folks. This is going to happen. And I don't think it's that far away. Oh, thank God for what is in a name. And you know, the name of Jesus, the apostle Peter preached one time in Acts 4:12 and said, "For neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." What's in his name? Power to save. Authority to save. Power and authority that through his name he gives to us. Because our names are recorded in heaven, the ones that God gave us. The one that'll be on your white stone that Jesus said he will give to you. That's the authority. That's the power. Your name is written on a white stone of acquittal, forgiven, sins remitted, paid for by the blood of Jesus, so that we can stand at his right hand, on which is the entry to eternal glory. On his right hand are the sheep, the left hand the goats. By the way, when the Lord came, he came to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He never came to transform goats into sheep. He came to save the lost sheep. Now, there are some sheep that have taken on a lot of goat characteristics. And such were some of us, and all of us, really. But the Lord pulled us out of the goat herd because we were lost sheep. That's how it works. Now, while I have a little time left, let's do this. Let's go back to Luke 10. And we were talking about how the 70 returned with joy and Jesus gave the instructions to his disciples, his response to their great joy that the devils were subject unto them was this, in verse 18. He said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." His name was Lucifer, which means the holder or bringer of light. Now he is called in the Hebrew, in the Aramaic Hebrew, Satan, or Satan, the adversary. We understand how evil he is, but we don't even understand the depth of all that evil. We're seeing it manifested again out of Washington, out of Madison. Isn't it something? Our country is literally falling apart. The devil knows he has only a short time. And that's why you're seeing this big crescendo right now. It's a big last hurrah. Cash for clunkers. And his new health plan includes free abortions for all. Paid for by the tax money that they generate, even though the Internal Revenue Service claims they're losing money. They'll need a bailout next, right? They'll bail themselves out. They're all sitting in a wood boat. Water's coming in. They're drilling more holes to let the water out. Right? It's exactly what's going on. Precisely what's going on. Whew. Now the state of Arizona is so broke, they're putting their Capitol building up for sale. Let them put this one up. Who would buy it? If I had the money, I'd buy it and tear it down. Talk about wasted space. All that marble junk in there, all those idols and statues and zodiacs carved in oak and all the... It's a pagan temple. When my friend Joel Barreau from France came here and I baptized him, he went back to France, sat down at his table and received the Holy Ghost. But I heard from him not long ago. He's doing very well. Gets the messages, listens to them. I'd like to see him come back here sometime. Wonderful man. Doing a work for the Lord over there in France. But anyway, I had him in the Capitol building. I was going to show it to him. We walked in there and he looked around and said, and his English is very good, but just a little broken, little French twinge in there. He said, "I don't like this place." I said, "Joel, I don't like it either. I just thought you might want to see it." But you know, can't you just see a for sale sign out in front of that? Huh? The only problem is it costs too much to tear it down. But it makes no sense to have that there. It's The thing about it is, you know, it's wasted space. How'd you like to heat that place? Yeah, we are, aren't we? But you know, you personally, could you do it? You know, it's totally non-functional from the standpoint of any efficiency whatsoever. But they got to have a big, giant building with an old whore on the top, Miss Forward, pointing east, right? You're not surprised she's pointing east, are you? Toward the rising sun, that's to get you orientated, aligned with the Orient. Up there in this big marble monstrosity, that's to make you feel this big. And you can't fight them because they're this big. And these bunch of drunken derelicts that run the thing are nothing. They put their pants on one leg at a time if they can get them on. If they're sober enough to do it. Come on. I hope I'm not being too unkind. I'm being factual. Check it out. They need the Lord. I tell you, these people, they're so lost. But they've given themselves over to the enemy. Watch this now. Jesus said in verse 18, it says, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning. There's quite a flash there, isn't there? Fall from heaven. Now, he was making reference, no doubt, to the fall of Satan. Hold your page, but we're going back to Isaiah 14 for just a moment. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, the prophet cries out and says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Jesus said he beheld him as lightning fall from heaven. How art thou fallen, right? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I, boy, there's a lot of I's in there. Sounds a little proud, doesn't he? I will ascend, just like Obama. Do you ever notice how much he talks about himself? Him and his beer party. Get that professor over there from Cambridge and the cop that tried to arrest him. And a learning experience, he called it. Quaffing their favorite brew. You know, does that mean that every time a bunch of guys get together and get a 12-pack, that's a learning experience? Is that the example he's setting? Having trouble? Have a beer together. That's the answer for the country. Everybody just have a beer together. Get bombed out of your gourd. Drink enough till you start having the DTs, right? Start seeing pink elephants and purple snakes and things. Yeah, have a beer. There's the big answer. I've never seen anything like it. And so he went on in verse 14. This is the verse we're focusing on right now. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That did it. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Jesus said he saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. When he wanted to ascend up into the heights. Now let's go back and look at that verse again. In Luke 10, verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, if you look at the Aramaic, which is what Jesus spoke right here in Luke. Jesus, this is written in Greek, but he spoke it in Aramaic. All right, the word for I, there's different ways to say in Aramaic the word I. Generally, it's ba. Okay? Beheld is ra'ah. I can give you the numbers out of Strong's if you want to look this up, Strong's Concordance. Beheld is ra'ah, which is entry number 7200. Satan is satan, entry 7854. Then you have the word as, and let's see, which is a connecting word. I'll come back to that in a moment. Lightning is the word barak. Fall is, oh, pardon me, that entry is 1300. Fall is nafal, which is entry 5307. And the high place, the heights of the clouds that we just read about, that he was cast down from, that word is entry 1116 and is bama. When you connect two nouns in Aramaic, you use either a U or an O, primarily an O. In Hebrew, there are no vowels, only consonants. But you have, in Hebrew, they generally put the little marks right after a consonant to give it a vowel sound. Those are called the nikud. So you generally use an O to connect it with. So Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So in Aramaic, it would be Ba Ra'a Satan, Nafal, Barack Obama. Was he telling us something? Would there be a man someday who would come along that if he isn't the final Antichrist, he'll certainly do till the real one comes along, certainly preparing the way for him? Ba Ra'a Satan, Nafal, Gam, I think I left that out last time, Barack Obama. There it is. If I were Barack Obama, I wouldn't feel too good about that. But he doesn't care. But I believe, and this is straight out of the Aramaic, and you can look up the references for it if you want to. Did I give you the one for Bama 1116? Okay. Praise the Lord. And in the it doesn't matter, but as is actually gam, G-A-M. You can look that up if you have a Strong's Concordance. That's not the major issue. The main point is we have the nouns and the verbs and so forth that are in here. But, you know, the signs are plenteous. We are being, as a country and a world, overtaken with evil. The darkness is out there. Now, are you and I going to do the right thing and seek the Lord and pray? What is in a name? In the name of Jesus is all power to overcome. That's what's in his name. And what is in the name he has given you? Well, somewhere there's salvation in it, because it'll be written on your white stone that he will give to you. Praise the Lord! This is exciting! Amen! You know, every one of the names given to the children of Israel had a meaning, didn't they? Judah, a praise. Isn't that great? And Benjamin, way at the end, son of my right hand, Benjamin, or son of my joy. And his name had been changed from Benoni, which means son of my sorrow, because his mother died in childbirth in that particular case. But his father quickly changed his name to son of my right hand. What is Jesus going to say to everybody at his right hand? Enter thou into the joy of my Lord. Son of my joy, son of my right hand. Every one of us will be known as Benjamin. Sons and daughters of his right hand. Amen. Will we be known as Judah? Praise. We'll be a praise unto the Lord. How about Levi? Joined unto the Lord. Go right down the whole list. God knew what he was doing. What is in a name? The meaning is powerful. And the very kingdom of God is written down. And he included us in his white stones. Shall we stand together as we close with a prayer? Precious Lord, Heavenly Father, we come to thee and we thank thee, O God, for the joy that is set before us. Knowing that in this world there is continual trouble and we are challenged every day. O Lord, let all worry and fear be taken away, and let all of thy people seek thee with a whole heart, for they shall be entreated of thee. O Lord, thou wilt surely hear us if we will pray sincerely from the depth of our innermost being. Let thy people, O God, seek after thee in their homes, in their vehicles as they drive, everywhere that they are. Let them reach out to thee with a true heart, and thou wilt show thyself to be the God of their salvation. O Lord, we intercede for the lost in our families, among our friends. O Lord, let them come awake quickly. Let thy gospel reach them, Lord, and use us, O God, according to thy perfect will. Stretch forth thine almighty hand to help us now, we pray, and let thy name be glorified. We love thee, Lord. We love the precision of thy word and the sureness of thy promises. And we ask all these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus and through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
I wanted to make